20th Century Fox. An orange glow fills the sky behind the Brooklyn Bridge as New York wakes up.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
An Edward R. Pressman production.
Spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars.
An Oliver Stone film.
Hold my hand.
Michael Douglas, Charlie Sheen, Daryl Hannah.
Baby, kiss me.
A boat heads towards the city.
Fill my heart with song and let me sing.
A car drives along the highway towards it. A train pulls into a busy station.
All I worship and adore.
Martin Sheen.
In other words,
Wall Street. Starring Hal Holbrook.
In other words, I love you.
Driving through the city, past buildings bathed in orange light, then inside an underground train where passengers are crammed together as they head to work. Throngs of people make their way up the escalators of the station, outside into daylight and along the busy streets. Sean Young, John C. McGinley, Saul Rubinek, Sylvia Miles, James Spader.
Fill my heart with song. Let me.
One man in a suit crosses the road and steps out in front of a car, making it wait for him. Then he's walking through an elegant foyer, along with crowds of other people, and battles to get into the lift. They all cram inside and wait uncomfortably as the doors close and the lift goes up. Each person watches the dial until the doors open and they pile out.
Good morning, Jackie Steinem.
You.
How you doing, buddy?
Great, Carolyn. Doing any better would be a sin.
Oh. Thank you for holding.
Morning.
Bud, a young man in a sharp suit, walks through the office amongst rows of desks and computers.
Morning, Dan. What's looking good today?
If I knew, I wouldn't be in this business. Get out while you're young, kid. I came here one day, I sat down, and look at me now.
Yeah, look at you now.
Well, sir, all I want.
Morning, Brian.
Got a hot IPO, X-Dog.
Hey, Chuck E.
Chairs.
How's the woman slayer?
Still looking for the right 18-year-old wife. How you doing, pal?
Well, fine. Your looks better.
Takes years of genetics, Yale education, and the right tailor.
Yeah, not that you learned anything, Chunk. Marv.
Hey.
Marv, I got a feeling that we're going to make a killing today.
Oh, yeah? Where's your machine gun?
Jesus, you can't make a buck in this market. The country's going to hell faster than when that son of a bitch Roosevelt was in charge. Too much cheap money sloshing around the world. First mistake we ever made was letting Nixon get off the gold standard. Putney drug, you boys might want to take a look at it.
No, take 5 years for that company to come around.
But they got a good new drug. Stick to the fundamentals. That's how IBM and Hilton were built. Good things sometimes take time.
Look sharp today, boys, especially your rookies. The Nikkei Index closed up 90 points last night. We expect heavy Japanese buying on the opening. Firm has 200,000 steel for sale in big blue, 350,000 pork and beans. Get on the horn with your institutions. Report on their appetite. These utilities are our top priority today. Okay, let's go to work.
And they're off and running.
1985. The New York Stock Exchange, a cavernous hall crammed with traders, is bustling with business. Back at Bud's office.
We cleared up the 60,000 GC at 48.5. Yes, that's right. Right.
Every desk has someone with a phone to their ear. One of Bud's colleagues stands up suddenly.
Yeah, here's a hot lead. Research just put Chris on the recommended. What?
Yeah, dump him for Christ's sake. Let's go.
30,000, 385. I can go along at 23. You got it. Now you own it. Conwest Air, let me check it.
Bud types into his computer. Someone fills out a trading form.
20,000 Niagara Mr. Templeton.
Mr. Harrison, I don't know if you're aware of this enough. We are in the middle of the biggest bull market of our generation or any other I've ever witnessed. No, sir, it's not. Sir, if you just take 5 minutes of your time.
Judge's looking for 50,000 Con Air. What do you got for me?
September 5th. How about those December?
Mr. Searle, Bud Fox, Jackson Steiner. Yes, sir, I'm aware of that. But if I could just have 5 minutes of your time to explain the extraordinary opportunities presently emerging in the international debt market. No, sir. Bud Fox, Jackson Steiner.
Yes, I know I put in this.
Yes, I am aware of this, sir. But if I could just have 5 minutes of your time to explain the extraordinary opportunities presently emerging in the international debt market, I'm sure that.
People walk through the office, the floor littered with bits of paper. The clock shows 3:50.
Yesterday, it concerns my future. I need the information now, before the close. No, in 10 minutes, it's history. At 4 o'clock, I'm a dinosaur.
Howard, I thought you were a gentleman. Well, sure, it's gone down a bit, but you got the tip. I didn't. What? I didn't tell you to buy it. Why would I tell you to sell it? Look, give it back to who? I can't give it back. You own it. No, he's not here right now. That's what you told us to say.
Give me that phone. Hello. This is the sales manager. What seems to be the problem?
What? Oh, will you give me a break, for Christ's sake? How the hell was I supposed to know you were in surgery? What am I, Marvin the Mind Reader?
No, sir. I'll discuss that with the account executive, and I'll get back to you. No, no, sir. You're welcome.
He hands the phone back to Bud.
I'm closing the account out. If he doesn't pay tomorrow, you pay.
Mr. Lynch, I swear to you, he's lying.
We give you one of those rich man's accounts. You tell me that he's going to DK you for a lousy quarter point?
I don't think you're being fair, sir. You assigned me to this guy. You know he's got a history of this kind of bullshit.
Somebody's got to pay. Ain't going to be me.
Buddy, buddy, little trouble hunt today, buddy?
Howard, the jerk reneged on me. I got to cover his loss to the tune of about $7,000.
Yeah, I'm holding.
I'm tapped out, Mark. American Express got a hitman looking for me.
Well, it could have been worse, right? Could have been my money.
here, rookie. Let me help you out. I got casino.
Thanks, Marv. I'll make it up to you.
Yes, I am still here.
You know what my dream is? Just the one day be on the other end of that phone.
Oh, you got it, baby, where the real cheesecake is. Hey, Bud, you forgetting something?
The Gecko phone call?
Buddy, when are you going to realize it's the big game hunters who bag the elephants, not guys like us?
Gordon Gecko, please.
Oh, Gecko. Gecko's beautiful. 30 seconds after the Challenger blew up, he's on the phone selling NASA stock short. Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, but $47 million he made on the Melcourt deal. $23 on the Imperia deal before he was 40. Yeah. The guy makes 20 times what Dave Winfield makes in a year, and he talks to everybody.
And he had an ethical bypass at birth.
Hello, Natalie. Guess who? That's right. Every day I say to myself that today could be the day. So what do you say, Natalie? Will you marry me?
That's terrible.
Then can you please get me through to Mr. Gecko?
It concerns his future.
Well, of course he's busy, and so am I. 5 minutes, that's all I'm asking.
Mr. Fox, I've told you before, I'm sure you're a good broker, but our traders deal with the brokers. Mr. Gecko only deals with investment bankers.
Will you at least tell him I called? There are big, big
yes,
changes
I should give him your message.
Leo, I understand that, but you have to realize there'll be major subordinated debt involved. Yeah.
A group of businessmen follow Gordon into his office. Then the doors are closed. The sun's sinking as Bud parks his car, gets out, and heads over towards the diner.
Hey, buddy boy, how you doing?
Oh, great, Charlie. Any better than be a sin.
You're looking
Jesus
good.
Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. I know all you guys on Wall Street are millionaires. When are you going to make us all rich, huh?
Yeah,
we're
going
to
open an account to win the lottery.
Yeah?
Look, you give me $50,000, I'll get you a condo in Florida next Christmas.
Sure, 50, and we'll own the airline by then. If he's going to make anybody rich, let him make himself rich so he can pay off his school on it.
Nice to see you in such a good mood, Dad. What'd Mom do? Give you fish for dinner? You're smoking too much. How many times you gotta go to the hospital to realize?
Leave me alone, will you? It's the only thing that makes me feel good anymore. There you go, Frank. All set.
Care,
spaghetti. Frank. Your mother still makes lousy spaghetti.
It's called pasta now, Dad. Spaghetti's out of date.
Yeah, so am I. You want a beer?
Billy, bring a Molson Light for the kid, will you?
Good, huh?
Oh, it's terrific.
Yeah, it's good.
Carl, we're gonna be at the bar.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
See you, buddy,
right.
Huh?
Get you up. Take care, buddy.
All right, Charlie. So, you look like you've grown another inch, but you don't look so hot, buddy. Just trying to get bags under your eyes like your old man.
Yeah, I had a tough day. Some jerk DK'd me, and I gotta cover his loss.
Speak English, will you?
DK, didn't know who I was when the options he bought took a bath.
Bastard reneged on me. And I told you not to get into that racket in the first place. You could have been a doctor or a lawyer. If you'd stayed at Blue Star, you could have been a supervisor in customer relations by now instead of going off and being a salesman.
Dan, how many times I gotta tell you, I am not a salesman. I'm an account executive. Pretty soon I'm moving to the investment banking side of the firm.
You get on the phone and ask strangers for money, right? You're a salesman.
Dan, it takes time. You gotta build a client list. I'm doing that. You know, I can make more money in 1 year as a broker than I could in 5 years at this airline.
Thank you, Billy.
Thanks.
I don't get it, kid. You borrow money to go to NYU. The first year out, you make 35 grand. You made 50 grand last year, and you still can't pay off your loans. Where the hell does it all go?
That 50K does not get you to first base in the Big Apple. Not anymore. Look, I got 40% in taxes, 15 grand for rent. I got school loans, car loans, food. Parked my car. That's three bills a month. I need good suits, $400 a pop.
So come back home and live rent-free instead of that roach-infected place you're living in. $50,000. Jesus Christ, the whole world's off its rocker. You know, I made a total of $47,000 last year. That's before taxes.
That's Queens, Dad. A 5% mortgage and you rent the top room. Look, I gotta live in Manhattan to be a player. There is no nobility in poverty anymore, Dad. One day you're gonna be proud of me. You'll see.
It's yourself you gotta be proud of, Uncle Barry. How much you need?
Can you spare 300? It'll pay back next month, I promise.
I don't know if I got that much on me.
Come on, not in here, please.
It adds up, kid. You know, 300 here, 200 there, your brother now. Well, like I always say, money's only something you need in case you don't die tomorrow. Isn't that right, Carl?
Hi, Cindy.
How you doing?
All right.
How's work been treating you?
Mandatory drug tests are driving my men crazy. I even got flagged the other day for my blood pressure pills. Can you believe that? The only good news is we just had a meeting with the controller about some union business, and guess what?
What?
You remember the accident last year and the investigation that followed?
Yeah, sure.
The FAA is going to rule it was a manufacturing error in the door latch mechanism. I knew it all the time. I kept telling them it wasn't maintenance. It's those goddamn greedy manufacturers out in Cincinnati.
Well, that's great, Dan.
Damn right. This gets us out from under suspension. We can go for those new routes to Pittsburgh and Boston now. We're gonna compete with the big guys.
Well, to Blue Star, as your broker, all I can advise is you hold on to that stock.
What stock? Are you kidding?
You sure about this thing?
What?
The FAA announcement?
Sure, I'm sure. Look at me. You got that mischievous look in your eye, buddy. And you used to smile just like that when you were a kid sleeping. It's true. Just like that.
Bud smiles at his dad. The sky burns orange behind the Brooklyn Bridge. Then a light comes on in the city. Inside a cramped apartment filled with books and papers, Bud's getting out of bed. A naked woman who was lying next to him gets up, while Bud sits at his small desk and turns on his computer, which brings up a calendar. At the top of the day's list, a note in red reads, Gecko's birthday. Bud smiles. He's walking down the street in a suit with a small wooden box under his arm. Natalie's office.
All right, send him in.
A woman walks quickly across the busy floor of a large office, with Bud following behind her, looking around nervously. He goes up to Natalie's desk.
Hello, Natalie. Recognize the voice? I'll give you a hint. You're thinking seriously about marrying me.
What are you doing here?
You are even lovelier than I pictured. Got a birthday present from Mr. Gecko.
First of all, Mr. Fox, you can't just come barging in here. What makes you think it's his birthday?
Well, in the Bible, see? You better go buy him a gift. Please, Natalie, let me give this to him. Cuban cigars, Davidoff, his favorite, and very tough to get. Please, Natalie.
Stay here, I'll see what I can do.
She takes the cigars and goes into Gordon's office, while Bud wanders around the reception area impatiently. He goes up to an older woman, typing at her desk, and peers over her shoulder, but she gives him a dirty look. Then Natalie comes back out.
Wait outside.
On the phone.
Yeah, I'll see you shortly, I hope.
It's almost 5 to 12, and Bud's sitting in an armchair in the waiting area next to another man in a suit. Natalie comes down the hallway and looks at him. He stands up, takes a deep breath, and checks his reflection.
Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Gordon's large, opulent office.
What the hell's going on? I'm looking at 200,000 shares moved, pal. I want to over part of it. We better be, and I'm going to come down and eat your lunch for you. Back to two, Alex. Sorry, Jeff. Look, I love that at 40 is an insult at 50. They're analysts. They don't know preferred stock from livestock, all right? So you wait till it heads south, then we raise the sperm count on the deal, okay? Get back at you. This is the kid. Calls me 59 days in a row, wants to be a player. Ought to be a picture of you in the dictionary on our persistence, kid. Yeah. Now listen, Jerry, I'm looking for negative control, okay? No more than 30, 35%. Just enough to block anybody else's merger plans and find out from the inside if the books are cooked. Looks as good as on paper. We're in the kill zone, pal. We'll lock and load. Lunch? Oh, you gotta be kidding. Lunch is for wimps. Okay, Billy, I'll talk at you.
He sits down opposite Bud.
How do you do, Mr. Gecko? Bud Fox.
So you say, nice to meet you. Hope you're intelligent. Where'd you get these?
I got a connection at the airport.
So what's on your mind, Kimosabe? Why am I listening to you? I gotta monitor my blood pressure, so whatever you do, don't upset me here.
No, sir.
Within 45 seconds, a microprocessor computes systolic and diastolic pressure. Got an LCD readout, cost effective. Less than one visit to a doctor.
I just want to let you know, Mr. Gecko, that I've read all about you at NYU Business, and I think you're an incredible genius. I've always dreamed of one thing, and that's to do business with a man like you.
What firm are you with, pal?
Jackson Steinem.
They're going places. Good junk bond department. You do the financing on that Janssen investment?
Yeah. We're working on some other interesting stuff.
Cosmetic company by any chance? What are you, 12th man the deal team has to know?
I can't tell you that, Mr. Gecko.
So what do you got for me, sport? Why are you here?
Chart breakout on this one here. Whitewood Young Industries. Explosive earnings, a 30% discount from book, great cash flow, a couple of 5% holders.
It's a dog.
Very strong management.
It's a dog, pal. What else you got besides connections to the airport?
Mr. Stevenson in San Francisco?
Gordon picks up his phone and turns his back on Bud.
You respond to the offer. What? What the hell is Cromwell doing giving a lecture tour when he's losing $60 million a quarter? Guess he's giving lectures on how to lose money. Jesus Christ, if this guy owned a funeral parlor, no one would die. This turkey is totally brain dead. All right, Gordon. Okay, all right, Christmas is over. And business is business. You keep on buying. Dilute the son of a bitch. Ollie, I want every orifice in his fucking body flowing red.
He's flowing, Gordo. Piece of cake.
Doesn't look like it, huh? This guy's the best trader on the street. Susan, get me the LBO analysis on Teldar Paper. Bring it in here, please.
Mr. Gecko, your wife.
What else? What else you got?
Terrafly. Analysts don't like it. I do. The breakup value is twice the market price. This deal finances itself. You sell off two divisions. You keep
that's
the core business.
Not bad for a quant, but that's a dog with different fleas. Come on, pal. Tell me something I don't know. It's my birthday. Surprise me.
He feeds a birthday card into a shredder.
Blue Star.
What?
Blue Star Airlines.
Rings a bell somewhere, so what?
It's a comer. 80 medium-body jets. 300 pilots. Flies Florida. Canada, Northeast, Caribbean, great slots in major cities.
I don't like airlines, lousy unions.
Well, there was a crash last year. They just got a favorable ruling on a lawsuit that even the plaintiffs don't know about.
Well, how do you know about it?
I just know. The decision should clear the way for new planes and route contracts. There's only a small float out there, so you should grab it. Good for a 5-point
pop. 250,000 shares at 18 and a quarter from Janssen. I think I can pull twice that at 18 and a half from the California pensions. We got close to a 500,000 shares in the bag.
Huh? The Terminator. Blow him away, Ollie.
I'm pretty sure we got the Beezer brothers coming in with us, and I'm working on the Silverberg boys.
Rip their fucking throats out. Stuff them in your garbage compactor. Interesting. You got a card?
Home number's in the back.
Bud Fox, I look at 100 deals a day. I choose one.
I hope to hear from you, sir.
Thanks for the cigars. Let's go, guys. Looks like we're going over 5% in Teldar. Start the lawyers in a tender offer in a 13D. We buy everything in sight, but we don't pay over 22. Now, they're going to fight. They got Myers and Bromberg doing their legal.
Thanks, Natalie.
Have a nice day, Mr. Fox.
Mr. Gecko, your conference call is ready. Mr. Sugarman and Mr. Lorenzo in Delaware, Mr. Bernard in Los Angeles.
Bud walks out, looking miserable. At the office.
But please, I'm begging you. I'm in a bind here. I've got all these damn new computers and young men that are edging me out here.
Bud gets to his desk.
Hey, Bud. Did he see you?
Yeah, he saw right through me.
Cheer up, buddy. You shook Gecko the Great's hand, you still got all your fingers, right? Besides, this clown is not the only elephant in the jungle. Holy cow, did you get something from him? Tell dark paper, huh?
Nah. It's a dog with fleas.
Fox, where have you been for the last 3 hours, huh? If I were you, and I thank my personal God I am not, I wouldn't be sitting around chin-wagging. Plenty of six-figure names in that zip code file to cold call.
Hey, buddy, got tickets to the Knick game tonight. Go out and cruise some chicks afterwards. This is gonna be awesome. What do you say?
Nah, I gotta read my charts.
Oh, come on, forget charts, will you? We're not fund managers here, baby. Churn 'em and burn 'em. I am offering you the Knicks and chicks. God help you before you turn into poor steeples over there.
They watch Dan, who's stressed out.
Preferably Lou Mannheim.
Oh, yeah, nice guy, swell fella, but he's a loser. He lost all his equity when the firm went belly up in the recession of 71. Wait, do you want to be coming in here in your late 60s still pitching? Hey, bud, whatever happened to that cute analyst over at Butter and Wicks? Sydney, Susan, what's her name?
Cindy. Jesus, having sex with her was like reading the Wall Street Journal.
She had a heartbeat.
You want to bet? I got to get to work. See you today.
Call for you, buddy. Pick up two.
Yeah. Bud Fox.
All right, Bud Fox. I want you to buy 20,000 shares of Blue Star at 15 1/8, 3/8 tops. And don't screw it up, sport. Think you can handle that?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You won't regret this.
Woo!
Mark! I just bagged the elephant.
Gecko.
Marv looks distinctly jealous. Flying around the Statue of Liberty, the sky and water bathed in late golden sunlight, the silhouettes of Manhattan's buildings reaching up along the skyline. Bud stops off at a newspaper stand and buys one of the financial broadsheets. He opens it up on a picture of an aeroplane and the headline, Blue Star Exonerated in 1984 Crash. Then he's being shown to a table in a restaurant.
Hiya, sport.
See you again, Mr. Gecko.
Hey, try the steak tartare. It's off the menu. Lewis will make it for you.
Of course, sir. Thank you. Anything to drink, sir?
Just an Evian, please.
Hey, see this? Can you believe it? It's got a 2-inch screen.
No, I can hardly see it.
It's for my kid, Rudy. 3 years old, he's an electronics freak. I tell you, we're going to a new age, pal.
Check.
So how's business today?
Great. Blue Star was at 17 1/4 when I left the office, up from 15. Might spin up to 18 by the bell.
Teldar's shooting up. Did you buy any for yourself? I bet you were on the phone 2 minutes after you got out of my office, huh?
No, sir. That wouldn't have been legal.
Sure. Relax, pal. No one's going to blow the whistle on you. Is that legal? Did you put that in my account?
Hey, Gordon.
Georgie, the cellular king. How you been, pal? Oh, Monique, so nice to see you, my dear.
You look wonderful.
Well, you're looking very, very well yourself.
Thank you.
And Mr. Davis, yes? Can I get the check here, please?
Christ's
sakes. Jake, cover that Blue Star buy. Put a couple $100,000 on those Bow Wow stocks you mentioned. Pick the dog with the least fleas. Use a stop loss so downside's $100,000. And buy a decent suit. You can't come in here looking like this. You just go to Morty Sills, tell him I sent you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Gecko. Thank you for the chance. You will not regret this. You're with a winner.
Right. There. Put the rest of the money in a tax-free mutual fund. I want to see how you do before I invest it. And save the cheap salesman talk, will you? It's obvious.
Excuse me, sir?
Ah, you heard me. I don't like losses, sport. Nothing ruins my day more than losses. Now, you do good. You get perks. Lots and lots of perks. Lewis?
Yes, sir.
Take care of my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good lunch, buddy.
Gordon heads out.
Congratulations, Elvin.
Bart gets up from his desk in the small apartment where he's working at his computer and goes to the door. He opens it to an attractive young blonde woman who's smartly dressed.
Hi, bud.
Hi.
I'm Lisa. Friend of Gordon's.
Lisa? Gordon? Oh, Mr. Gecko. Sure.
Would you like to come in?
Didn't he tell you? Oh, that's so like Gordon. Why don't you get dressed? We're going out.
We are?
Ready.
Outside, Lisa leads Bud by the hand down the steps of the building and across the road to a waiting saloon car, where a chauffeur opens the door for them. Inside, Lisa hands Bud a bottle of champagne.
So, where are we going?
Wherever you like. Lutes, 21, the River Cafe. Or maybe we could just drive around for a while. Work up an appetite.
Lisa snorts a drug while Bud pops the cork.
Want some?
He sniffs it, and Lisa starts coming on to him.
Gordon tells me that you're a very talented broker. What do you like?
Like? Well,
I've got this guy who should know who tells me to buy Hewlett Packard, but I've been burned on tips.
Hewlett, well, let's see, it closed at 41 and a quarter, up an eighth. Very attractive.
Uh-huh.
About average yield. Very attractive. Rising profits.
Ooh.
Strong balance sheet.
You're hot on this stock.
It's ready to take off. I'd jump all over it if I were you.
She gives him oral sex.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Morning, buddy. You look happy.
Well, any better and I'd be guilty.
You were never that innocent, sugar pie.
How do you know? You wish.
Bud's sitting at his desk where the computer screen shows news on share trading, including Terrafly earnings decline sharply. Then he's leaning back in his chair, a pen in his mouth, watching the electronic reader board show the constantly changing share prices, with TFY at 16 1/8. A woman puts a bundle of files on his desk, but he's watching the prices with Marv as they roll by again, TFY at 10 1/8. Bud gets up and throws some screwed up papers at the wall. He stands looking round the office, hands behind his head, as a different board shows Terrafly 10 1/8, down 2 7/8. He throws more paper through a mini basketball hoop over the bin, then stands next to a gloomy looking Marv as the price comes round again. TFY 9 1/2. Then the board shows market closed and it's just gone 4 o'clock. Bud sits with his head in his hand, rubbing his eyes. Marv's behind him.
God damn. I sure went down the toilet on that ugly bitch.
Oh, buddy, Mr. Gecko's office is looking for you. He's the Wyatt Club courts at 6.
On the squash court with Gordon, Bud looks exhausted and sweaty and crashes painfully into a corner after missing a shot.
Sport? Yeah, try harder. Need some exercise for Christ's sake.
I don't think I can go on, Mr. Gecko.
Let's go, buddy. Push yourself. Finish out the game.
Very nice club, Mr. Gecko.
Yeah. Not bad for a city college boy. Bought my way in, now all these Ivy League schmucks are sucking my kneecaps. I just got on the board of the Bronx Zoo. Cost me a mil. That's the thing you gotta remember about wasps. They love animals, they can't stand people.
Mr. Gecko, we took a little loss today. We got stopped out on Terrafly. About 100 grand.
Well, I guess your dad's not a union representative of that company, huh?
How do you know about my father?
The most valuable commodity I know of is information.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Gordon shakes his head and walks away. In the changing room...
Public's out there throwing darts at a board, sport.
I don't throw darts at a board. I bet on sure things. Read Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Every battle is won before it's ever fought. Think about it. You're not as smart as I thought you were, buddy boy. You ever wonder why fund managers can't beat the S&P 500? Because they're sheep. And sheep get slaughtered. I've been in this business since 69. Most of these Harvard MBA types, they don't add up to dog shit. Give me guys that are poor, smart, and hungry. And no feelings. You win a few, you lose a few, but you keep on fighting. And if you need a friend, get a dog. It's trench warfare out there, pal.
Hey, Georgie.
Hey, Gordon.
How's Larchmont treating you?
Fine.
How's the Praxor deal going?
Well, you should know, pal.
Asshole.
And inside here, too.
I got 20 other brokers analyzing charts, pal. I don't need another one.
See you around, buddy.
I am not just another broker, Mr. Gecko. If you give me another chance, I'll prove that to you. I'll go the extra yard. Just one more chance, Mr. Gecko. Please.
You want another chance?
Fucking A.
And you stop sending me information, and you start getting me some. Get dressed. I'll show you my charts.
Driving along a rainy street.
You know the name?
Of course, Larry Wildman. One of the first raiders.
Sir Larry Wildman, like all Brits, thinks he was born with a better pot to piss in. Bribed an old secretary of mine to open her mouth. Stole RDL Pharmaceuticals right from under me. Wildman, the white knight.
I remember that deal. You were involved, Mr. Gecko?
Payback time, sport. You see that building? I bought that building 10 years ago. My first real estate deal. Sold it 2 years later. Made an $800,000 profit. Better than sex. At time, I thought that was all the money in the world. Now it's a day's pay. Anyway, I had a mole in Wildman's operation. He gave me half the picture, then he got fired.
I don't think I followed, Mr. Gibb.
Wildman's in town. I just became an American citizen. Something big is going down, okay? I want to know where he goes and what he sees. I want you, pal, to fill out the missing picture.
Mr. Gecko, it's not exactly what I do. I could lose my license. If the SEC found out, I could go to jail. That's inside information, isn't it?
You mean like when a father tells a son about a court ruling on an airline? Or someone overhears that I'm buying Teldar paper and decides he's going to buy some for himself? Or the chairman of the board of XYZ decides it's time to blow out XYZ? Is that what you mean? I'm afraid, pal, unless your father's on the board of directors of another company, you and I are going to have a very tough time doing business together.
What about hard work?
What about it? You work hard? Bet you stayed up all night analyzing that dog shit stock you gave me, huh? Where'd it get you? My father, he worked like an elephant pushing electrical supplies till he dropped dead at 49 with a heart attack and tax bills. Wake up, will you, pal? If you're not inside, you are outside, okay? And I'm not talking about some $400,000 a year working Wall Street stiff, flying first class and being comfortable. I'm talking about liquid. Rich enough to have your own jet. Rich enough not to waste time. $50, $100 million, buddy. A player. Or nothing. Now you had what it took to get into my office. The real question is whether you got what it takes to stay.
They pass a man in a suit, standing next to a homeless person.
Look at that. Look, are you going to tell me the difference between this guy and that guy is luck?
Muhammad, pull over, will you?
If you don't mind if I drop you off here, I'm late. Buddy, it's been nice meeting you, okay?
Bud looks utterly fed up as Gordon hands him an umbrella. Then the door opens on the pavement side, so Bud has to climb around him to get out. Gordon looks at his watch. He opens the window and Bud leans in, staring intensely.
All right, Mr. Gecko. You got me.
Gordon's stony face turns into a broad grin. Then the car pulls away, and Bud's left standing in the road, watching it head off in the traffic. Next, Bud's standing by the road next to a parked motorbike. He checks the time and watches a building across the street. When a couple of sharp, middle-aged businessmen come out and get into a waiting car, Bud puts on his helmet and starts up the bike. The car drives off, and he follows it until it pulls up outside another grand building. Inside, Bud makes his way quickly through the marble foyer towards the lifts, and has to force the closing doors open to get himself into it. Wildman, a thin, serious-looking man with grey hair, stands at the back of the lift. Bud nonchalantly glances up at the floor indicator.
Excuse me, please.
Excuse me.
Wildman and another man get out, watched closely by Bud. Then he's in an expensive restaurant, wandering over towards Wildman's table with his sunglasses on, when one of the waiters quickly walks up to him.
Do you have a reservation?
Table for one.
Reservations only. We're booked for a whole week now. Please.
All right. Don't touch.
Bud's standing over the road from the restaurant, eating a snack, when he sees Wildman coming out. He throws the rest of his food away and gets back on his bike. Then he's following the car over Queen's Bridge. They arrive at an airport where the car drives over the tarmac and parks next to a private jet. Wildman gets out.
Everything ready, sir.
He walks over to the plane, doing up his jacket, and climbs the steps into the cabin. Bud jumps off his bike at some gates and sees the plane taxiing away. He runs up to one of the ground crew.
Excuse me. Is the Wildman on board that plane? Oh, shit! My boss is gonna kill me. I was supposed to give him this. You know where that plane is going?
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
On the phone.
After spending the morning at Conn's Seidelman on the 14th floor of the junk bond department where Shane Morrow works, he had lunch at that French restaurant, Le Circus, with a group of well-dressed, heavy-set bean counters. Well, he later stopped off at Morgan, and I'd say from all the sweet smiling and palm-pressing going on that Larry got himself some nice fat financing, GG.
Right. Not bright enough, Sherlock. Let's roll the dice and play a little Monopoly. What box is Sir Larry gonna land on in Erie, Pennsylvania?
Jesus Christ. He's buying Anacott Steel.
Okay. When the market opens tomorrow, I want you to buy 1,500 July 50 calls. You hear me?
1,500, yes, sir.
And start buying 1,000 share blocks and take it up to $50. When it reaches 50, give out a little taste to your friends. Then I want you to call the Wall Street Chronicle, extension 1605. You tell the man, Blue Horseshoe loves Anacott Steel. You got that?
The Wall Street Chronicle.
All right. Congratulations, buddy. You scored. Talk at you.
All right.
Start buying Anacott Steel across the board. Use the offshore accounts. And keep it quiet.
Next day in Bud's office, the reader board counts down. Then it's 9:30.
Frank, 10,000 ANC at 46. Let me know how the options are open, okay? Thank you.
The stock market floor's bustling with traders. Someone hands a man in a suit a message on a slip of paper, and he goes to a seller.
How is Anacott Steel? 5 and 3/4 to 6, 2,000 up.
6 or 10,000.
I'll sell you 2,000 Anacott.
Not what I said. I said 20,000 shares.
Bud fills out a form. A runner takes it and hands it to Frank, who looks up at Bud, then gets back on the phone. On the floor.
What do you want to buy?
Can I fill 8,000?
At a quarter. 8,000 at a quarter?
I'll take 8,000.
8,000 more trades at a quarter. Make it 6 to a half, 2,000 up. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I know what time it is. I realize that the market, and this is what I'm saying to you. We have important financial news, Mr. Ehrlich. Important financial news that just happens to concern your future. You could benefit a great... Oh, come on, what the hell's going on?
Anacott Steel. Put your best customers in.
Bud goes into the office.
Lou, I got a sure thing. Anacott Steel.
No such thing, except death and taxes. Not a good company anymore. No fundamentals. What's going on, Bud?
You know something? Remember, there are no shortcuts, Sam. Quick buck artists come and go with every bull market, but the steady players make it through the bear markets. You're a part of something here, bud. The money you make for people creates science and research jobs. Don't sell that out.
You're right, Lou. You're right. But you gotta get to the big time first. Then you can be a pillar and do good things.
You can't get a little bit pregnant, Sam.
Lou, trust me. It's a winner. Buy it.
Then we'll kamikaze over to Nell's and chase a little cotton underwear. I know this 18-year-old bimbette that's just gorgeous. Wait a minute. Hold on, hold on.
Play some tennis Saturday?
Me teach you how to play tennis. Can. I'm going fly fishing in Canada. Really big climb.
Take Anacott?
Light snack, but good. Thanks, pal. Sharking your way up. Yeah, sure.
No, no, my dear. You've got to diversify.
I got a sure thing. Anacott steel.
I've just heard the most lovely two words.
On the phone.
Blue Horseshoe loves Anacott steel.
Anacott steel, right.
A balding man in glasses puts the phone down thoughtfully, then gets up from his desk and walks across the newspaper office to a younger man at his desk. He leans over him.
Looks like Anacott Steel's in play. Check the arms.
On the phone.
Looks like it's being accumulated. We've got a position in.
Yeah. Lou, Anacott. I buy. Yeah. Take it and bid it.
If I'm right, eighths and quarters won't matter. Keep taking Anacott.
This is really special. Anacott. Buy another 50,000 Anacott.
Bet the ranch.
Buy 100,000 shares.
Wildman is sticking around.
It's on automatic pilot to the moon.
If it hits 75, we can clean close to 24 minutes.
First lesson in business, don't get emotional about stock. Clouds of judgment.
Which closed at 51 1/8. Up 5 1/8 from yesterday's close on heavy trading.
A beach at night with waves rolling in. Bud pulls up outside a large, white, modern building with some cars parked outside it. He knocks on the door, and a butler answers.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'm Bud Fox. I have some papers for Mr. Gecko to sign.
Come here.
Thank you.
He hands Gordon some papers.
I'm sorry about this, Mr. Gecko.
All right. It's okay. You want to wait here?
Problem?
There's no problem. This is Bud Fox, my wife, Kate.
Hello.
Pleasure.
You came out from the city?
Yes, ma'am.
Ah, long drive. You want a drink?
Yeah, you want a drink? Sure.
Wouldn't you rather not?
No. Come on, have a drink. Get to meet all the people. It's a good idea. We've got Sam Rispoli, Carmen Winters, Stone Livingston, Bud Fox, his illustrious wife, Muffy, Candace Rogers, Dick Brady, and Darian Taylor. All old friends.
Hi.
Bud's taken with Darian.
Great idea, Gordon. And I know good help is hard to find, but can he create a dry vodka martini?
Doesn't talk back, doesn't steal the silverware. And Dick here, he's going to get me an exemption, aren't you, Dick?
Dick?
I'm insane with this new Kamali leopard skin V-cut bikini, which is going to turn back the clock on my marriage like 5 years. You know what I mean.
Call for you, sir. Sir Lawrence Wildman. He says it's important.
Thank you, Nim. Did you fix Mr. Livingston another martini? Stick around. This could be fun.
And it's all because this Ukrainian bitch botched the job on my wax for my bikini.
Oh, how ghastly. You should sue her.
Larry, what a surprise.
Want to see you, Gordon.
We're going to wait till tomorrow. I got some people over here tonight.
No, this can't wait. It's important.
Okay. All right, if you feel that way. Come on over.
Ah, there you are. Listen, can I steal him for a minute?
Of course.
Sure. Yeah, I want your opinion.
Okay, very well.
Darian's left on her own and is looking at a painting when Bud sidles up.
So what do you see in this?
She stares at it a moment longer.
Purity. Innocence.
A few $1,000 down the tubes, if you ask me.
Really? Well, I guess you can kiss your career as an art appraiser goodbye. Because we paid over $400,000 for it at the Contemporary Picture Sale last June.
Jesus, you could add a whole beach house for that.
Sure you could. In Wildwood, New Jersey. If you sold this one, you could have a pretty nice penthouse on Fifth. Well, you wouldn't have much left over for decoration.
Yeah, it's nice if you're on mushrooms. Boy, I thought Gordon was a real tough businessman. She's really taking a bath on that.
A bath? I'd say Gordon is one of the most astute collectors around. He has a great eye and he only buys the best. Like this rug, for instance, a Bokhara. The finest of its kind. The day after he bought it in London, a dealer representing the Saudi royal family offered him twice what he paid. It absolutely makes the room. See how this little bit of celadon in the border is picked up by these cushions on the sofa? Although it's a sacrilege having that Etruscan vase in the center of the coffee table. Some dope might use it as an ashtray.
I guess you're a decorator.
You got it. A great spender of other people's money.
Well, if you're that good, I'm sure you could do wonders with my place.
Where would that be?
Upper West Side.
Really? Home of the exposed brick wall and the house plant?
Well, it's just the rental. I'll be moving to the East Side soon. A couple of deals brewing with Gordon. But that's just conversation. What about real things? Like dinner? Two of us? Next Friday? Cafe Santo Domingo?
What if I have a previous engagement?
You break it.
There you go again, dear. Talking with strange men.
Hello.
Hello.
Sam, do you know Bud Fox? Sam, he's in banking. Works for Gordon.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Are you staying for dinner?
No, I've got a lot of work to do.
The bell.
Kate goes to answer the door.
Call me next week. I'll give you an estimate.
Larry, how have you been?
Fine. Traveling, actually.
Yes, and can I get you a drink?
Nothing, thank you.
Larry! Excuse me, Sir Larry. How are you? God damn, you look great.
Gordon.
So you want to talk?
I guess I'll be heading back now, Mr. Gecko.
Stick around. This is one of my gang, Bud Fox.
Wildman recognizes him.
Should we go upstairs?
Yeah.
Wildman, Gordon, Bud, and one other climb the stairs to a large open office. Wildman looks at some guns in a display cabinet.
The rarest pistol in the world, Larry. A 45 Luger. Only six of them were ever manufactured.
Congratulations. Rarer still is your interest in Anacott steel.
Well, my interest is the same as yours, Larry. Money. Thought it'd be a good investment for my kid.
No, this time I'm in for the long term. It's not a liquidation. I'm going to turn it around. You're getting a free ride on my tail, mate. And with the dollars you're costing me to buy back the stock, I could modernize the plant. I'm not the only one who pays here, Gordon. We're talking about lives and jobs. Three and four generations of steelwork.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when you acquired CNX Electronics, you laid off what? 6,000 workers? Jemison Fruit, 4,000? That airline you bought,
Break you, mate. In two pieces over my knees. You know it, I know it. I could buy you six times over. I could dump the stock just to burn your ass. But I happen to want the company. And I want your block of shares. I'm announcing a tender offer at 65 tomorrow. I'm expecting your commitment.
Showdowns bore me, Larry. Nobody wins. You can have the company. In fact, it's going to be fun watching you and your giant ego try to make a horse race of it. Buddy, what's the fair price for that stock?
The breakup value is higher. It's worth 80.
Well, we don't want to be greedy. So what do you say to 72?
You're a two-bit pirate and green mailer. Nothing more. Gecko. Not only would you sell your mother to make a deal, you'd send a COD.
My mail is the same color as yours is, pal. Or at least it was until the Queen started calling you sir. Now you'll excuse me, all right, before I just lose my temper.
71.
Gordon stops and turns round again, hands in his pockets.
Well, now, considering you brought my mother into it, 71.50.
The two men stare at each other.
Done. You're here for my lawyers tomorrow, 8 a.m. Good night.
Wildman and his man head out, leaving Gordon and Bud alone.
Yeah, he's right, I had to sell. Key to the game is your capital reserves. You don't have enough, you can't piss in the tall weeds with the big dogs.
Was nice.
All warfare is based on deception. Sun Tzu. If your enemy is superior, evade him. If angry,
irritate him. If equally matched, fight. And if not, split and reevaluate.
He's learning, huh? But he's learning.
The phone in Bud's dark apartment. A hand sleepily reaches for it.
Yeah.
Money never sleeps, pal. Just made 800,000 Hong Kong gold. It's been wired to you.
Play with it. You done good, but you gotta keep doing good. I showed you how the game works. Now school's out.
Mr. Gecko, I'm there for you 110%.
No. You don't understand. I want to be surprised.
Astonish me, pal. New info. I don't care where or how you get it. Just get it. My wife tells me you made a move on Darien. Well, here's some inside info for you. That Euroflash GQ type she's going out with got big bucks, but he's putting her feet to sleep. Exit visas are imminent. So I don't want you losing your place in life.
Ah, Jesus. I wish you could see this. Lights coming up. I've never seen a painting that captures the beauty of the ocean at a moment like this. I'm gonna make you rich, Bud Fox. Yeah, rich enough you can afford a girl like Darien. This is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
Standing on the beach, Gordon slowly lowers the large mobile phone from his ear as he looks out to sea with the sun rising behind him. In another office...
Fox!
Mr. Barnes?
Buddy D, is this deja vu? What's it been, a year, year and a half?
So, I hear you're moving up in the world. Senior associate. Not bad. Not bad. How's Margie?
Can't complain. Got a house in Oyster Bay, you know? Market treating you good? Still seeing that sexy French chick?
I know. No. She asked the wrong question.
What was that?
What are you thinking? The hours are hell, but the cash is starting to tumble in. I know this guy was an ironclad way of making money. I can't lose and I can't get hurt.
Oh, can't get hurt. Well, so does this, guy have a tip for an honest lawyer?
Maybe. Check out Teldar paper. But don't quote me. What about you? I hear you guys are handling the Fairchild Foods merger and it may not be going through. Any surprises I haven't read about in the Wall Street Journal?
Come on, buddy, that's illegal. You wouldn't want to get me disbarred now, would you?
Oh, who's listening? Just one college buddy talking to another.
Yeah, right.
Oh, relax, Roger. Everybody's doing it. But if you don't know, then you don't know.
He looks at Roger, eyebrows raised.
And if I did, what's in it for moi?
More money than you ever dreamed of. Nobody gets hurt. You think about it. Grab a beer. What do you say?
Yeah, too much to do. But I'll walk you out. Files on the desk, Murray. Get inside my uncle's door, Bud. All the secrets of the world are yours. Lifeblood of companies. Of course, you gotta go to law school first, but...
Bud stops and looks through the open door of Roger's uncle's office at the cleaner vacuuming the floor. Outside, he sees a commercial maintenance van pulling into the building's car park. Then he's inside with one of the workers.
Mr. Panos, I've been charting the growth of new office space in the city, and I happen to think that you're in the right business at the right time.
Thank you for telling me what I already know.
Look, I'm very impressed with your work in this growing business, and I could use a tax break. Let me ask you something. What would you say to some working capital and a partner?
What makes you think I need a partner?
Look, you got five vans, you need eight. 42 employees can't possibly cover the amount of buildings you already got, not to mention the clients you and I can have together. Mr. Panos, I am an expert at identifying undervalued assets such as this business.
It's nighttime, and Bud walks through an office wearing jeans and the maintenance company's shirt. He's carrying a clipboard and goes from room to room, watching the workers cleaning or vacuuming, making notes. Then he goes into a darkened office. Bud opens the drawer of a filing cabinet, leafs through the papers, and pulls out a thin document. He opens it nervously and starts reading, looking behind him towards the door occasionally. Then he takes a small black machine out of his pocket. He holds the document flat and runs one end of the machine over patches of text, producing an immediate printout. Next day, he's on the phone.
Well, the good news, Gordon, is Rorker Electronics.
That's right. Now I see it happening sometime in the next couple of months.
Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding. Their quarterlies are for shit.
You got a little gift for you.
Very pleased. What else have you got?
Bud strolls casually down the street. Then he's in a bar.
You know Marty Windman? He netted 650G off of that merger. 26 years old, the guy's Rambo.
The guy's an asshole.
The guy is Rambo. He's got himself a Porsche Turbo Cabriolet, about 75,000.
I think that if I can make a bundle of cash before I'm 30 and get out of this racket, I'll be able to ride my motorcycle across China.
I'd like to do for furniture what Laura Ashley did for interior fabrics. Produce a line of high-quality antiques at a low price.
Sounds great. I'll take you public.
You will?
Bud and Darian raise glasses and toast. Then Bud's running up the stairs on the top floors of a very high office building that overlooks Manhattan. He's dressed as a maintenance guy again and goes into a very large but dark wood-paneled office.
Can I help you?
Oh, excuse me. Is this Bill Bates' office?
No.
I'm sorry.
The sun's setting over the city, casting a fiery red glow into the sky. Bud walks into an aeroplane hangar.
Hiya, Dad.
What brings you out here?
Client. Got a private jet over at Butler.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Mr. Wall Street.
Hey, it's the bozos that keep us in the air.
Now, how about coming over and give us a hand?
Come on, we'll show you how to do an honest station.
All right, all right. Change the oil, fill the tires, and park it out back, all right?
This kid want to buy the plane? Come on, this guy. How come you always got to light up when you see me?
Hey, don't start. Hey, all right?
Right? So who peed in your Cheerios?
Goddamn fair wars are killing us. Management's gonna lay off five of my men this week, and there's nothing I can do about it.
I'm sorry about that. So what's with you? How much you need? I don't need anything. I'm doing great. New client, whole new ball game. Things are really starting to happen.
Yeah, sure. Lots of guys at the track talk like that. But how do you know you have any dough next month? Jesus Christ, what is this? I only gave you a few hundred.
It's a dividend. I figured I'd borrowed at least $5,000 in pocket change over the years.
Oh, stop it. Come on here. Put this towards your school loan.
Oh, forget the loans. Look, Dad, things are good, and it's going to stay that way. Right, buy yourself a new suit.
What do I need a new suit for? I don't hobnob with the jet set. I just fixed the plane.
Well, then get yourself a decent bowling jacket, so when you take Mama, you don't look like the Roto-Rooter man, for Christ's sake. Come on, Dad. What's money for? Enjoy yourself.
Money is one giant pain in the ass, if you ask me. But thanks, kid.
How about dinner?
Yeah, sure, any night this week.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. This week's booked. Listen, I'll check with my girl. I'll get back to you, all right?
Yeah, you do that, Huckleberry. You know where to find me.
All right, I gotta run, Dad. You stop smoking, you hear? I'll talk at you.
Bud's speeding over a beach in a small dune buggy, sand flying into his face. Gordon's driving one beside him, and Darian has one as well. Then they're by the pool.
It's in both our interests to put a safe distance between you and us. You understand that, Mr. Fox?
Sure.
This gives you limited power of attorney for Mr. Gecko's account. Every trade you make is at your discretion. Every ticket you buy must be marked power of attorney. That means that you call the shots. Mr. Gecko has no, absolutely no official knowledge of what stocks you're buying. All right? Just sign it at the end, twice.
Never knew how poor I was till I started making a little money.
As you know, your transactions will be monitored by Stockwatch. If any trouble does arise, you are on your own out there. I mean, trail does stop with you. You understand?
Spread the buy orders over different accounts, you won't get burnt.
I think I have some friends that won't mind making some easy money.
Rudy Gazzuti, how's my cutie?
Particularly interested in Teldow Paper.
The SEC.
We need your votes for the showdown, but we don't want to go public with an amendment on our SEC filing.
Bonjour, monsieur buddy.
Bonjour, buddy.
Speaks French already. Kid had the highest score in his IQ test.
It is so difficult to get into a good nursery school now.
You gotta park Teldar with third party.
Ow!
Come to your home just to make sure you're acceptable. That's it for you with the grown-ups, young man. Nicole, would you take him for a nap now, please?
Yeah, mom.
Give him a bath and put that cute little black suit on him.
This is a contact at one of our offshore banks. On settlement day, you'll open an account there for Mr. Gecko under the name Geneva Roth Holding Corp. Then you'll wire transfer the money to this account in the Cayman Islands.
You're gonna make a lot of money, pal. Stakes are going up. No mistakes.
Piece of cake, Gordon.
From Bud putting on his sunglasses to Darian emerging from the sea in a wetsuit, Bud's waiting with a towel. And she takes it to dry her hair with.
If I could have anything, this would almost do.
Almost?
So how'd your conference go with Gordon?
Went fine. Reached an agreement and decided to split up the world between us.
You have modest wants. I like that in a man.
What do you want?
Let's see. A Turner, a perfect canary diamond, world peace, the best of everything.
Well, why stop at that?
I don't.
She throws the towel back at him, and he watches her as she walks on ahead. Now New York in the winter. Bud's talking on a public telephone.
Client wants to buy a large block of Teldar, and he needs to spread it around. I'll park some money in your account, and if it hits, you get a big cut. I'm telling you, this is the easiest money you've ever made.
All right, bud. Let's do it.
We go way back, Harry. You know, I've put a lot of money into this firm over the years, and I brought in a lot of business.
You've taken enough out, too, you know that. You should have something put aside,
well,
for
Christ's
sake.
Well, I don't. I mean, with the divorces and everything, I haven't had a chance. And the kids?
The bridges have burned.
When you fire me, I'm finished here. Finished on the street.
How do you think I feel about
this? I know. How do you think I feel? I mean, I've got a lot of responsibilities, and I've got two kids.
What's going on? Lynch is giving him the boot. Not pulling his quota. We're all just one trade away from humility, bud.
Your research report on GM and a conference call on defense stock in my office 7 a.m. tomorrow. No RSVP required. Just be there. Now, on a more inspiring note, I am pleased to announce that the new office record for a single month's gross commission from the wealthy individual accounts goes to Bud Fox. Shows cold calling does work, fellas. Way to go, Bud. Super job. Come on up here.
Bud, congrats. You just made my life twice as hard around here.
Lou.
You're on a roll, kid. Enjoy it while it lasts, because it never does.
Just kicking ass and taking names, Lou.
Bud's smile fades as he approaches Dan, the man who's just been fired. He gives him a sympathetic pat on the shoulders, then steps over to Lynch.
Come along with me, Bud.
He's led to a corner office.
This is yours now, Bud. Credenza, tree, windows, and significantly more attractive, your private secretary, Janet.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Fox.
Hello, Janet. Well, I don't really know what to say. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lynch.
No, I thank you, Bud. The minute I laid my eyes on you, I knew that you had what it takes. Now you can focus on the big ticket retail.
Oh, this is very nice. This is very nice. So what's it, Mr. Cocksucker now?
Everybody tells you they hate the Upper East Side. They want to live on the West Side. But believe me, when it's resale time, the East Side moves all the time. I mean, what do you got on the West Side? Sean and Madonna? Trust me. Massage, sauna, jacuzzi, tanning salon. Best schools in the city. You know, cute young boy like you got to think of a future lady friend in your life when you're finished wolfing around. Of course, I'm taking oak strip floors. My husband can get you 10% mortgage. You know, I would do it myself, except I'm into four other deals right now. So I got a 4 o'clock and a 5. One of them's an all cash type. Monique, something or other. Look, maybe you'd like to see something cheaper that I got over on First Avenue. Honey. The meat is running. Anybody home?
All right. Offer $9.50.
You know, I got something over on Sutton Place. It's $1.5 million, but now we're talking duplex.
No. This is it. This is home.
Various laborers set to work on the decor of Bud's new apartment. Fake brickwork is added to the walls, cornices to the ceiling, and an artist creates a mural incorporating a fish and vase design. Painting and carpet laying takes place, then two men position a large oil painting, Darian supervising the work.
Enough gold. That's enough gold over there.
Bud lowers a blind over one of the windows, then walks through the apartment, inspecting the activity that's taking place all around. He wanders over to where Darian's overseeing the hanging of another large painting.
Like it?
I'm having House and Garden come up next week to photograph it before it gets lived in. Oh, do you mind?
Hey, Jerry! Come at me, what do you got? No, 37.5. Convert the bonds and check the price from Tokyo at 8 o'clock your time. Right.
Darian has a glass of wine in her hand as she walks to a spaghetti-making machine on the kitchen counter. She removes the strands of pasta it's produced, sets them aside, then opens a fridge and transfers a tub of ice cream to a microwave. Bud's nearby, and she gives him a kiss. Bud's turning the handle of a small machine that's making neat rectangular bundles of rice, which are dispensed onto a revolving plate. He takes a sip from a wine glass, then kisses the back of Darian's neck. Now they're sitting opposite each other at a candlelit dining table.
Isn't it perfect?
It's too perfect. Let's not even eat. Let's just watch it. Think about it.
A darkened bedroom. Bud and Darian are making love, their bodies silhouetted by the soft light coming through some curtains. Bud's lying on top of Darian. He arches his head back, then lowers it again to kiss her on the lips. Continuing their kiss, she wraps her arms around his neck and he pulls her up into a sitting position. Later, Bud's standing on the balcony of the apartment, looking out at the lights of the city.
Who am I?
He shakes his head and steps back indoors, Darian still lying on the bed.
Bud, come to bed.
Darian's with Gordon at an auction.
1,700,000 on my left now. Against you, 1,800,000. At 1,900,000, new bidder this side. 1,900,000, $2 million here now, not yours. At 2,100,000. 2,100,000. Fair warning then, selling for $2,100,000. All done. For you, sir. 2,100,000.
What do you say we get a suite at the Carlisle? Champagne, caviar, celebrate just like old times?
Come on, Gordon. Those days are over.
Well, you can't blame me for trying. You're as beautiful as that painting I just bought. Sunshine, what's wrong? Looks like you got a bad case of puppy love.
I think I'm falling for Bud.
Don't fall too far. He hasn't been around the block yet. You have. Told him about us?
No, are you crazy? I don't want him to ever know, do you understand?
Mum was the word. You and I are the same, Darian. We are smart enough not to buy into the oldest myth running, love. Fiction created by people to keep them from jumping out of windows.
You know, sometimes I miss you, Gordon. You're really twisted.
Bud's on the phone.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Jack, it's easy. On settlement day, you endorse a check to Blue Horseshoe Trading Company.
and then I'll send you your cut. What? No, that's the bottom line. Nobody gets hurt.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Think so bad around here, even the liars are complaining,
but not with you. No, you're making big money. What's the bottom line?
Hey, look! Work it up. I am sick and tired of playing wet nurse to you all the time, all right? Will you do your own homework, Marv?
What an asshole, man. That's a shame.
Yeah, Frank. Work 500,000 shares Teldar with a limit of 26. New account. Don't fuck it up.
Lefty!
How's Teldar doing?
Yeah. Back again? I got a real appetite, Lefty.
Make it 5 to a half. A couple of thousand up.
I gotta buy some stock here. What do you offer to half?
What are we looking at, Mike?
Excuse me. Give me an offer on 80.
80,000 and a half.
I'll take it.
80,000 trades and a half. Put it on the table. I got 4 3/4, a couple of thousand up.
Details of the Teldar stock values appear on a computer monitor, a bespectacled man studying them closely. A Teldar stockholders meeting.
Your company, ladies and gentlemen, is under siege from Gordon Gekko. Teldar paper is now leveraged to the hilt like some piss-poor South American country. I strongly recommend you to see through Mr. Gecko's shameless intention here to strip this company and severely penalize the stockholders. I strongly recommend you to reject his tender by voting for management's restructuring of the stock. I think.
Briefly placing a hand on Bud's shoulder, Gordon rises from his seat with a microphone.
I appreciate the opportunity you're giving me, Mr. Cromwell, as the single largest shareholder in Teldar Paper, to speak. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to indulge in fantasy, but in political and economic reality. America has become a second-rate power. Its trade deficit and its fiscal deficit are at nightmare proportions. Now, in the days of the free market, when our country was a top industrial power, there was accountability to the stockholder. The Carnegies, the Mellons, the men that built this great industrial empire made sure of it because it was their money at stake. Today, management has no stake in the company. Altogether, these men sitting up here own less than 3% of the company. And where does Mr. Cromwell put his $1 million salary? Not in Teldar stock. He owns less than 1%. You own the company. That's right. You, the stockholder, and you are all being royally screwed over by these bureaucrats with their steak lunches, their hunting and fishing trips, their corporate jets and golden parachutes.
This is an outrage. You're out of line, Gecko.
Teldar paper. Mr. Cromwell, Teldar Paper has 33 different vice presidents, each earning over $200,000 a year. Now, I have spent the last 2 months analyzing what all these guys do, and I still can't figure it out. One thing I do know is that our paper company lost $110 million last year, and I'll bet that half of that was spent in all the paperwork going back and forth between all these vice presidents. The new law of evolution in corporate America seems to be survival of the unfittest. Well, in my book, you either do it right or you get eliminated. In the last 7 deals that I've been involved with, there were 2.5 million stockholders who have made a pre-tax profit of $12 billion. Thank you. I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Gordon acknowledges the applause.
Buy me 20 June Euro dollar CDs, 20 March gold, and sell 10 September Deutschmarks. Right. Talk at you, babe. Buddy, I hate to tell you this, but you are a genius. Darren, lightning has struck. The light bulb has been invented. Blue Star Airlines. Edison, Da Vinci, Einstein, they're all watching me.
Ever hear of the 60-hour work week? You've got to go to work in a couple of hours, and I'm getting psychotic from a lack of REM sleep.
Oh, you think I'm gonna broker the rest of my life? Come on, Darian, I am gonna be a giant, an entrepreneur in the Italian 16th century sense of the word, a mover, a shaker.
I'm shooting for the stars, Darian. You're coming along for the ride.
A private jet.
Blue Star's an unpolished gem, Gordon, right out of the garbage. A half-assed management being decimated by a price war they cannot win. But the gates at LaGuardia alone can bail us out. If it's worth a dime, it's worth 10 bucks a share. They're ripe to fall.
Mixed emotions, buddy. Like Larry Wildman going off a cliff in my new Maserati. Guys like me have had their asses hung in a sling with the airlines. Fuel could go up, unions are killers.
Yeah, but come on, Gordon, aren't you forgetting one thing? Capital reserves. This company has 75 million cash in an overfunded pension. That buys us a lot of credibility. And the beauty is, you already own close to 2% of this sucker.
Gordon, the insurance people are balking on the logging trucks. What do you want to do?
You tell those spineless assholes we'll self-insure if they don't write it.
I can't believe it. You fire half the management, nothing changes.
Gordon, what I want, and I've never asked you for anything, is to be your co-pilot on this one. I want to take this airline, turn it around, and make it work. It's going to make us a fortune.
I got a stockbroker who wants to run an airline. It's going to take me 2 years and 2,000 headaches to turn Teldar paper out. What the hell do I need a Dink airline for? I'm up to my ass in more nuts than a fruitcake.
I've worked at Blue Star, Gordon. I know my way around. I have friends there, inside.
Now, what do you mean?
The three unions. It's 43% of Blue Star's operating budget. The hourly cost of a flight crew is $8.50 an hour. That's the real hidden value, Gigi. If you can negotiate that out, get a crew down to $350, $400 an hour, this airline is going to be the hottest thing since Texas Air.
What makes you think you can?
I can talk to these people, Gordon. They trust me. My father can be a big help in getting cuts.
Gordon considers.
All right, Susan, get Buckingham on the phone. Tell him to look into it. So the Falcons heard the Falconer, huh?
He gives Bud an approving pat on the shoulder.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, son. Sorry I'm late.
It's okay. Overdressed as usual. Well, come on in. Everybody's here. Couldn't start the show without you.
I'll be a lousy Republican.
I decorate for Democrats, too. Lots of them. I'm Darian Taylor.
Oh, hi.
Bud told me all about you.
Well, I don't believe a word he said. I never beat him, and I never locked him in a closet. I
forgot to tell you about the closet.
I think he turned out okay.
Bud's a born liar. Otherwise, he's a good kid.
Oh, I hope you come here more often, under less formal circumstances.
Thank you.
Dad, I think you know Duncan Wilmore.
Since before you were born. How are you,
Pilot Union? Tony Carpenter, flight attendant.
Hi,
Tony.
Carl, how are you?
And I'd like you to meet Mr. Gecko.
Mr. Fox.
Hi.
Pleasure to meet you.
His attorney, Mr. Saul.
I'd be proud to have a son like Buddy. He's got a hell of a career in front of him, huh? I'm glad you think so. I thought this was an informal gathering. What's your attorney doing here? Harold, you don't mind walking around the block a couple hundred times, do you?
Of course. Thank you.
No offense.
None taken.
Gordon accidentally drops a plate through a hole in an arty coffee table.
Well, that's okay, Gordon. Bud does it all the time.
Look, I got no illusions about winning a popularity contest with any of you. I got roasted the other night. A friend of mine asked, why are we honoring this man? Have we run out of human beings? I mean, it's not always the most popular guy who gets the job done. You got losses of $20 to $30 million, dividends cut to zero, and you're being squeezed to death by the majors. Now, present management may not be the worst scum of the earth, but they're the guys that put you on this kamikaze course, and pretty soon everybody is going to be scrambling for parachutes. Only there's not enough to go around. Management has them. You don't. Now, if they throw Blue Star into Chapter 11, which I think they will, they're going to use the bankruptcy laws to break your unions, your contracts, and throw you guys off the property.
Oh, come on. I mean, with all due respect, Mr. Gecko, what's to prevent you from doing the same damn thing?
Because I got a way around all this. A way we can all make money and make the airline profitable. So what do you say we cut to the chase? I'm asking for a modest 20% across-the-board wage cut and 7 more hours a month.
What kind of time frame are you talking about here?
Give me a year. If we're still losing money, the reduction stands. If, however, we're in the black, I'll return part of the give back. Salaries go back to the present level. And we initiate an employee profit sharing program with stock. You're going to own part of the airline.
Are you prepared to put that in writing?
I'll have a letter of agreement drafted up within 2 days.
What's your marketing strategy? How do you intend to return us to profitability?
Why don't I give Buddy an opportunity to answer that? Buddy?
Thank you, Gordon. First of all, I want you all to know that my door will always be open to you, because I know from my dad that it's you guys that keep Blue Star flying. Now, what I've come up with here is a basic 3-point plan, all right? 1, we modernize. Our computer software is dog shit. We update it. We squeeze every dollar out of each seat and mile flown. You don't sell a seat to a guy for $79 when he's willing to pay $379. Effective inventory management through computerization will increase our load factor by 5 to 20%. That translates to approximately $50 to $200 million in revenues. The point being, we can beat the majors at a price war. 2, advertising, very important. More, and aggressive. We attack the majors. 3, expansion. We expand our hubs to Atlanta, North Carolina, and St. Louis, and we reorganize all of our feeder schedules. We gotta think big, guys. We're going after the majors.
Well, the cards are on the table, guys. What do you say?
Well, if you mean what you say, I think we're probably in the ballpark. I guess I can take it to my people.
Good.
You've sketched some broad strokes. I would like to see the fine print. But I like what I hear so far.
Well, I guess if a man lives long enough, he gets to see everything. I do mean everything. What else you got in your bag of tricks, Mr. Gecko?
Frankly, Carl, I can't see giving much more, but if you have any suggestions, I'll be very happy to listen.
There came into Egypt a pharaoh who did not know.
I beg your pardon, is that a proverb?
No, a prophecy. The rich have been doing it to the poor since the beginning of time. The only difference between the pyramids and the Empire State Building is the Egyptians didn't allow unions. I know what this guy's all about, greed. He don't give a damn about Blue Star or the unions. He's in and out for the buck, and he don't take prisoners.
Now, wait just a minute, Dad.
Sure. Now, what's worth doing is worth doing for money. It's a bad bargain and nobody gains. And if we do this deal, everybody gains.
Of course, my son did work as a baggage handler and freight loader for 3 summers. With those qualifications, why should we doubt his ability to run an airline?
Fine, you don't want to stay with the scum and present management dedicated to running you and your airline into the ground.
That scum built the company up with one plane in 30 years and made something out of nothing. If that's a scum, I'll take it. Rat any day. You know where I stand. Good night, all.
Bud follows his father out of the room.
Excuse me. Well, congratulations, Dad. You just did a great job of embarrassing me in there, not to mention yourself. Look, save the Workers of the World Unite speech for next time. I heard it too much growing up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You are going to get axed, Dad. No two ways about it. You and the whole shitty airline are going right down the tubes, just like Braniff. And if it isn't Gecko, it's going to be some other killer.
They both get into a lift.
He's using you, kid. He's got your prick in his back pocket, but you're too blind to see it.
No. What I see is a jealous old machinist who can't stand the fact that his son's become more successful than he has.
What you see... he's a guy who never measured a man's success by the size of his... What?
That's because you never had the guts to go out into the world and stake your own claim.
Carl. Carl glares at Bud for a long moment.
Boy, if that's the way you feel, I must have done a really lousy job as a father.
The lift doors open and they step out.
As far as being axed, I'm still around, and as long as I am, I have a responsibility to the union membership I represent.
Your responsibility, Dad, is to present the facts, not your opinions to your men. You're going to destroy their lives. Don't do it. Let the membership decide for themselves.
When my men come to me tomorrow morning wanting to know what the hell's going on, I'll be damned if I'm going to lie. Oh, yeah, your men! Your fucking men! All my life, your men have been able to count on you! Why is it you've never been there for me, huh? And so what if you're wrong? What if one day the sun didn't rise in the east, the birds didn't fly south for the winter, and for once your compass was off? Would you be willing to wreck your men's future? My future? Dad, think for a change. Be practical. I'm asking you. Fucking begging you.
I don't go to sleep with no horror, and I don't wake up with no horror. That's how I live with myself. I don't know how you do it. I hope I'm wrong about this guy. But I'll let the men decide for themselves. That much I promise you.
Bud watches his dad walk off, then turns and heads back to his apartment building. A red sky over New York and the Brooklyn Bridge. The bespectacled man flashes a pass to a security guard at the entrance of a large building. Soon he's entering the office of an older man.
I think you should have a look at this, Chief. It looks like we've got a guy at Jackson Steinem buying large chunks of Teldar paper for an offshore account.
Barnes.
Come on in.
So, what's the problem?
Do you know what the fuck the problem is?
What?
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, shit. I mean, I get a strange call from the SEC. You know, they asked to see my records. This is heavy, Bud, you know?
Hey, relax, Roger.
Yeah, relax.
You're 82M in the account numbers, and I'm the invisible man.
Well, that's good for you, Bud, you know.
They're always looking for red flags. Gecko's always getting checked by them. They never come up with anything, Raj. Hey. We're invulnerable on this one.
Listen, you know, I just want to slow down, Bud. All right? No more lunches, no calls, all right? We suspend our business, all right?
Whatever you want, Raj. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Excuse me. Hey, Raj, can you come on back in? Bring the cost report with you.
All right.
Starting again.
Yep. Gecko's asked us into the Blue Star deal. We're reviewing timetables. You want to come?
Okay. Well, he didn't tell me about that.
Well, you're the president of the company. What the hell do you know anyway, right?
The two men walk through to a large boardroom. Inside, a number of people are already seated around the table.
Hey guys, new chief of Blue Star, Bud Fox.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, Bud.
Look, guys, what's the problem? It's time to kill. Gecko's got 12% of the stock in Climate. Plus, he's got the unions in his back pocket. And everybody knows that the stock's in play. By next week, the street's going to own Blue Star. Is the bank financing in place? Or are we going to sit around and have more and more of these ridiculous meetings? Our firm committed weeks ago 25% of the total long-term debt structure. And unless you guys sign this piece of paper right now, I'm going to pull and go to another bank for the 75.
Look, we've got 30 banks ready to participate in a four-year revolving credit line. But we must have your assurance that you will pay back most of the loan in the first 12 months. And the only way we can see this happening is liquidating the hangars and the planes. Can you people guarantee the liquidation of Blue Star?
Guarantee? No sweat. We got the Beesburg brothers lined up to build condos where the hangars are. We lay the airplanes off to the Mexicans who are dumb enough to buy them. And I got the Texas boys drilling at my kneecaps for the roots of the slots. What's your problem? It's done.
Price tags on the 737s, gates, hangars, roots.
We got it nailed right down on the typewriters.
Of course, the beauty of this deal is the overfunded pension. Gecko makes $75 million there. $50 million buys in the minimum annuities for 6,000 employees. And he walks away with the rest. I figure he'll make $70 million. Not bad for a month's work. Your boy really did his homework, Fox. And you'll have the shortest executive career since that Pope that got poisoned. now you'll really start believing he's Gecko the Great.
Yes, he'd like to change that appointment.
Hold this.
Bud, you can't go in there. He's in a meeting.
Alex has come up with a really ingenious way for us to... I don't know. We had a meeting scheduled today, sport.
I didn't either. I think we should talk, Gordon.
Would you gentlemen excuse us for a second, please?
Won't you come this way, gentlemen?
Thank you, Alex. What the hell do you want?
I just found out about the garage sale down at Blue Star.
Why? Last night I was reading Rudy the story of Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Pot. You know what happened. Stuck his nose in the pot once too often, and he got stuck.
Maybe you ought to read him Pinocchio, Gordon. I thought that you were going to turn Blue Star around, not upside down. You fucking used me.
Well, you're walking around blind without a cane, pal. A fool and his money are lucky enough to get together in the first place.
But why do you need to wreck this company?
Because it's wreckable, all right? I took another look at it, and I changed my mind.
If these people lose their jobs, they got nowhere to go. My father has worked there for 24 years. I gave him my word.
It's all about bucks, kid. The rest is conversation. Hey, buddy, you're still going to be president, all right? And when the time comes, you're going to parachute out a rich man. With the money you're going to make, your dad's never going to have to work another day in his life.
So tell me, Gordon, when does it all end, huh? How many yachts can you water ski behind? How much is enough?
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Money itself isn't lost or made. It's simply transferred from one perception to another, like magic. This painting here, I bought it 10 years ago for $60,000. I could sell it today for $600. The illusion has become real. And the more real it becomes, the more desperate they want it. Capitalism at its finest.
How much is enough, Gordon?
The richest 1% of this country owns half our country's wealth, $5 trillion. One-third of that comes from hard work, two-thirds comes from an inheritance, interest on interest accumulating to widows and idiot sons, and what I do, stock and real estate speculation. It's bullshit. You got 90% of the American public out there with little or no net worth. I create nothing. I own. We make the rules, pal. The news, war, peace, famine, upheaval, the price of a paperclip. We pick that rabbit out of the hat while everybody sits out there wondering how the hell we did it. Now, you're not naive enough to think we're living in a democracy, are you, buddy? It's the free market. And you're part of it. Yeah. You got that killer instinct. Stick around, pal. I still got a lot to teach you.
Obviously.
Oh, buddy, come on. Look, I was going to tell you about it, all right? Calm down, all right? We'll go up to the apartment tonight, have a little dinner. You bring Darian.
No, I can't make it tonight.
Hey, buddy. Are you with me? I need to know if you're with me.
I'm with you, Gordon.
Bud leaves the office.
Natalie, I'll be right there.
Yes, Mr. Gordon.
Gordon moves quickly to his desk and makes a call.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ollie.
Yeah.
You tell them I want Ziploc mouths on the Blue Star deal, or I'm personally going to come down there and rip out their fucking throats.
Bud's out on the street, walking along a pavement bustling with pedestrians. He's loosened his tie and seems lost in thought as he pauses by the trunk of a tree. He stares up at his office building, then leans against the tree, clearly mulling things over in his mind. Darian's carrying a bag of groceries as she returns to the apartment.
Bud? What's going on?
He's smoking a cigarette, looking worse for wear.
Been played like a grand piano by the master, Gecko the Great. Today was the big crash.
liquidation sale. He's gonna carve Blue Star into little pieces and sell it all off. Bastard.
I'm sorry. I was afraid something like this could happen.
I handed it to him on a silver platter. I told my father, I told those people.
Bud, it's not your fault. And it's not your decision.
Oh, I'm not gonna let it happen.
Don't cross Gordon. He'll crush you. If Gordon doesn't buy Blue Star, someone else will. And who's to say they won't do the same thing?
At least I won't be pulling the trigger.
Why are you doing this? You've worked hard to get where you are. We're so close. You don't want to throw it all away.
Look, I can stay with the firm, and you're doing fine. We can survive without Gordon Gekko.
Darian stares at him for a moment, then steps away.
I'm not looking to just survive. I've been doing that all my life. Cut this self-pity crap, Bud.
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
It means if you make an enemy of Gordon Gekko, I can't be there to stand by you.
Oh, yeah? Do you really mean that? Yeah. What'd he promise you? Take you public? I guess without Gordon's money and seal of approval, I'm not such a hot investment anymore. You're just the best money can buy, Darian.
You're not exactly pure, Bud. You went after Gekko with the same vengeance you went after me. Look in the mirror.
Well, I'm looking, and I sure don't like what I see.
Fair enough. But it's not that simple, Bud. When I was down and had nothing, it was Gordon who helped me. He got me all my clients, you among them. They can take them away from me like that. You may find out one day that when you've had money and lost it, it's much worse than never having had it at all.
Oh, yeah? Well, that is bullshit! Hey! Hey! You step out that door, and I am changing the locks!
She drops her keys.
You may not believe this, Bud, but I really do care for you. We would have made a good team. I'm sorry.
Get the fuck out of here.
Darian leaves. Outside the apartment, she looks upset as she waits for the lift to arrive. When it does, and the doors open, she's faced with her own reflection in the mirrored interior.
Well, the market is dead right now. I mean, even the rich are bitches. The only thing that's moving is the termites and the cockroaches, and what with the high commission that I get.
Hey, look, save the rat, all right? Just sell the fucker fast.
Bud walks past the main reception desk at his offices.
There he is. Buddy, where you been the last 2 days?
Yeah, to get my father on the phone and the other two union reps, right?
Your mom's been calling, Bud. Your father's, he's,
What? What happened?
He had a heart attack, hon, but he's all right. He's at St. John's.
Oh, Christ.
After driving at speed, Bud arrives at the hospital.
Mom, how is he?
I was complaining about chest pains at work. And the next thing I know, he's collapsed. You gotta talk to him.
All right, don't worry. He's a tough old nut, your dad. He's got another 20 years.
It's gonna be fine, buddy.
Is he conscious?
Entering a room, Bud walks over to the bottom of a bed and looks down at Carl. He's lying with several medical sensors attached to his chest. He opens his eyes as Bud sits down next to him.
Hey, Dad. Younger every day. Didn't I tell you never to lift the 747 by yourself? You even got me smoking now. It's your second heart attack, then. You're pushing your luck. I hope you know that. I guess I never told you. But I love you, Dad. I love you so much. I'm sorry about the things I said. You're the only honest man I know. The best.
But I got a plan, Dad. I can save the airline. I know you got no reason to believe me, but you have to trust me, okay? I need to speak to the union members. Can I speak for you? Your words, not mine. Okay.
Carl nods, and Bud kisses his forehead.
I'm proud of you.
Bud's in a bar with three of the union reps.
All right, the stock's at 19 and a quarter and it's going up. Now, Gecko figures by breaking up Blue Starts with at least $30 a share, he'll buy up to 23 or 24 and still think he's making money.
How do you know it's going to go up?
Well, I don't think you want to know any more than that, Duncan. Let's just say I have some friends, right?
Okay. What happens now?
All right, when it hits 23, you guys go to Gecko and you lower the boom. When he learns that he has no union concessions, he'll jump ship and sell everything he's got.
Yeah, but who's going to buy then, and what's to prevent some other shark from coming along and devouring us?
We have an appointment to see Mr. Wildman. Sir Lawrence, or can I call you Larry? What would you say to owning Blue Star Airlines with union concessions at $18 a share, and in the process, hanging Gordon Gecko out in the wind to twist?
I might be very interested. Why you, mate? What's a bloke like you doing mixed up with Gecko?
Well, let's just say that me and Mr. Gecko have a serious conflict of interest. But we all want to see this airline work. These figures show that it can.
You're prepared to take these large salary cuts?
Yeah, we are, but we want a contract agreement that's ironclad. So if you buy it, you can't break it up.
I'm still listening.
At the office, Bud approaches Marv.
Hi. Oh, hi. Say, why don't you get the hell out of my office?
Look, Marv, I know I've been a bit of a schmuck lately, and I just want to apologize.
You've been a real schmuck lately. So go thou and sin no more.
I want to make it up to you. Blue Star, put all your clients in it.
Marv studies Bud.
Okay, buddy, buddy. We are back in business on Blue Star.
Blue Star, Mr. Mannheim. Put all your clients in it. It's gonna move.
I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it. The main thing about money, bud, it makes you do things you don't want to do.
Bud's on the phone.
Favorite. It's a quick scout for you. 200,000 shares Blue Star at 19 and a half. Can you position it in one of your equity funds?
Chronicles on 7.
Hold, Marty. Listen, Blue Horseshoe loves Blue Star Airlines. Got it?
Got it.
Right. Marty, you still there?
Yeah.
Blue Star's in play. Let's check it out.
There's frantic activity on the floor of the stock market.
Love it so.
Yeah, Gordon, I see it at 21 and 5/8. I don't know what to make of it.
The word is out, pal. Your union buddies are talking. You get me in at a 45-degree angle. I mean all the way in. You slash and burn, you buy everything in sight up till 22. Then call me. When I get hold of the son of a bitch who leaked this, I'm gonna tear his eyeballs out. I'm gonna suck his fucking skull.
Bud keeps his eyes on the reader board as he walks across the office to Marv.
Stock's going to Pluto, man.
Start unloading.
What? Sell?
Dump it now. Dump it all. Where's Lou?
Right over there. Ken. Yeah, Ken. Marv and Jackson Steinem. We gotta dump this, baby. You gotta take the money and run on BST, okay? We're getting out now.
It's gotta be a big hitter.
Mr. Gecko, there's a whole batch of people from Blue Star Airlines demanding to see you.
What the hell do they want?
I'd be happy to tell you. We know what you're up to, Gecko, and let me tell you this from right here. You can go straight to hell. No way you're gonna break up our airline.
You must know something nobody else knows. That's my plans. That's the first I've heard of it.
Would you care to put that in writing, please?
I'd like to remind you that we have an agreement.
which I expect you to honor.
Well, in that case, you better hope to have your pilot's license.
Don't worry, Gecko. We won't let the engines fall out of the plane.
But those flight reservation systems can get awfully screwed up if we're not paying attention.
And a lot of the baggage headed for St. Petersburg could very easily wind up in Pittsburgh.
Hey, look, all right? Somebody else wants to buy your airline. Now, you want to be Pac-Man and gobbled up by Attila, hun? You be my guest.
We'll take our chances. Nice to see you, Gecko.
The union reps leave.
Fox says Blue Star just hit 23. What do you want him to do?
Sell it all. What the hell? So we'll only make 10 million.
Sell it. Yes, all of it.
The stock traders and the brokers are frantically selling.
Marvin, Jackson, Steiner, we're in big trouble on BST, pal. You gotta get out now.
Another 30,000.
Out! Gecko is on the ropes. He's trying to sell, but there's not many takers. The stock is plummeting.
Well, then, I guess I'll have to carry him a few rounds before he drops. Don't make a big deal of it. Buy it lightly on the way down. When it hits 18, buy it all.
Piece of cake, Larry.
On the market floor, the latest figures scroll by on the main reader board as the trading becomes more and more frenzied. Harold.
I don't know, there's got to be a way out of this, Gordon.
Sure, Harold, why don't you dial 911?
Fox is on 4.
Hey, Fox, where the hell are you? I am losing millions. Now, you got me into this airline. You sure as hell better get me out of the only job you're ever going to have on this street is sweeping it. You hear me, Fox?
You once told me don't get emotional about stock, Gordon. Don't. The bid is 16 and a half and going down. As your broker, I advise you to take it.
Yeah? Well, you take it! Right in the ass, you fucking scumbag cocksucker!
It's 2 minutes to close, Gordon. What do you want to do? Decide.
Dump it.
Gordon hangs up, and Bud smiles.
The big Wall Street story today was the roller coaster ride of Blue Star Airlines. Fueled by takeover rumors, the stock soared to an all-time high of 24 1/8. Then, when contradictory rumors later surfaced that the takeover was unfounded, buyers went running for cover, and the stock plummeted on gigantic volume to as low as 16 1/2 before closing at 17. But then tonight, amidst all the scuttlebutt, another rumble shook the street. According to many sources, Raider Sir Lawrence Wildman has stepped in and bought a substantial block of Blue Star. He's going to announce a deal tomorrow at 18 that includes the support of the unions. This reporter talked today with a leading stock market technical analyst in order to better understand the ramifications of such wild...
Son of a bitch!
From Gordon's furious features to Bud arriving for work at Wall Street, he seems pleased as he reads a newspaper.
Smile, Carolyn. There's justice in the world.
As Bud walks through his offices, the atmosphere subdued. People steal glances at him, and some seem to be talking about him.
Morning, folks.
One or two of his colleagues acknowledge him, but no one seems overly keen to talk to him. Bud arrives at Marv's desk.
Well, did somebody die?
Yeah.
Bud walks on.
Morning, Chucky. Morning, Lou.
Bud. Bud, I like you. Just remember something.
Lou takes Bud aside.
Man looks in the abyss. There's nothing staring back at him. At that moment, man finds his character. And that is what keeps him out of the abyss.
I think I understand.
Bud steps away and heads for his office.
Jenny, get my father away.
He just came in. I'll call you back.
He has several visitors, including a cop.
Okay,
Open an IRA, huh?
Fox, I'm Henry Patterson with the Postal Inspection Service. This is Mr. Ebenhopper from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Evan Morrissey from the Securities and Exchange Enforcement Office.
You're under arrest, Mr. Fox, for conspiracy to commit securities fraud and for violating the Insider Traders Sanction Act.
The minute I laid eyes on you, I knew you were no good.
You have the right to remain silent and refuse to answer questions. Do you understand? Anything you do say may be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to consult an attorney before speaking to the police and to have an attorney present during any questioning now or in the future.
Bud struggles to retain his composure as the uniformed officer escorts him back through the office in handcuffs. His colleagues are all looking on as he gives in to a sob. He's taken past the reception desk.
So long, Carolyn.
Grey skies hang over a wet Central Park as Bud approaches Gordon, who's waiting in the middle of a wide grassy area.
Hey, buddy.
Gordon?
Sandbagged me on Blue Star. I guess you think you taught the teacher a lesson that the tail can wag the dog, huh? Well, let me clue you in, pal. The ice is melting right underneath your feet.
Gordon hits him.
You think you could have got this far this fast with anybody else, huh? You think you'd be out there dicking someone like Darian? No. Or you'd be cold calling widows and dentists to buy 20 shares of fucking dog shit stock. I took you in. Nobody! I opened the doors for you. I showed you how the system works. The value of information, how to get it. Bullam Oil, Rand Resources, Geodynamics, and this is how you fucking pay me back, you cockroach. I gave you Darian. I gave you your manhood. I gave you everything.
Gordon throws a handkerchief at Bud, who's fallen to the grass, his face bleeding.
You've been one of the great ones, buddy. I look at you, and I see myself. Why?
I don't know. I guess I realized that I'm just Bud Fox. As much as I wanted to be Gordon Gekko, I'll always be Bud Fox.
Bud throws the handkerchief down and walks away. Gordon watches him go. He picks up the handkerchief, pockets it, then walks off in the opposite direction. Bud smoking a cigarette as he walks past a horse and carriage by the gates of the park. Looking wet and dishevelled, he crosses a road and enters a restaurant. He strides past the diners and is soon in the men's room, passing a tape recorder to two of the security investigators.
I showed you how the system works, the value of information, how to get it. Bullam Oil, Rand Resources.
You did the right thing, Bud.
Bud stares at his battered face in the mirror. Now he's in a car with his parents.
You told the truth and gave the money back. All things considered in this cockamamie world, you're shooting far.
You helped save the airline, and the airline people are going to remember you for it.
That's right. If I were you, I'd think about the job at Blue Star that Wildman offered you.
Dad, I'm going to jail, and you know it.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the price, son. It's going to be hard on you, that's for sure. Maybe in some kind of screwed up way, it's the best thing that could have happened to you. Stop going for the easy buck and produce something with your life. Create instead of living off the buying and selling of others.
The car stops near the Supreme Courthouse, and Bud gets out.
We'll park the car and catch up with you.
All right.
He looks stoic, resolved even, as he walks to the wide stone steps leading up to the court. Slowly he climbs upwards and soon he's just another small figure on the steps of the imposing, tall pillared building. The courthouse itself becomes lost amongst the many other buildings and structures of the city. A thick mist obscures nearly everything beyond the river, and the famous landmark skyline of New York is filtered through a somber grey haze. The end.